In the 10th chapter, very, very, very familiar scripture. It should be. You have probably heard it quoted quite often, and maybe the thought that I have today is simple, but sometimes simplicity is a good thing. The thought that is upon my heart this morning is something that, and I say this a lot of times, it is timeless, and it will stand the test of time. It sure will. There's a lot of things that you can preach that the Lord can put upon your heart, and they can be complex and have a lot of depth to them. And I like those kind of messages. I like studying to prepare for the Lord to preach a message like that. But sometimes I like it when He just brings it back down to the most simple point that there ever has been. And that point this morning is salvation by the cross. And I'm going to say this morning that that's not really the title of the message, but it's a timeless thing that salvation happens by the cross. You know what took place on the cross of Calvary, or what the Lord did for us there, is what saves souls. It's not anything that I do. It's nothing about me. It is God that saves souls this morning. And I'm thankful that it's that way. I'm thankful that it's not Taylor Gregory that can ever save anybody, because there's no saving power within me this morning. I have no ability to save a soul, and I want you to know this morning, this world believes that people can save them. And I believe there's people this morning that even believe themselves that they can save their own life. Brothers and sisters, there's no way that I could have saved my life. There's no way. There's nothing that I could do. It took the Lord. Romans in the 10th chapter, first verse says this: Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not admitted themselves under the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine own heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend in the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy own mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that would be our reading lesson this morning, the complete 10th chapter of the book of Romans. And if we could take for a scripture lesson this morning, if we take for a text, it would be that 10th verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if we could title this morning, it would be, just ask them yourselves. I thought about this morning, and I thought about salvation. That's basically the underlying premise of our message is salvation. And I don't know the hearts of not one person here. I know my heart. That's the only person that I can know about is my own self. I have no way to look into anybody else's heart and know if they have been saved. I have no idea what condition that you're in this morning. I don't know that. But what I do know is the world is telling people about a false way of salvation that will not get one soul into heaven. Brothers and sisters, they're not preaching the same thing that I'm going to try to preach to you this morning, because I want you to know they're taking the cross and they're going all the way around it instead of running to it. They're going their own way to establish their own righteousness. But as I thought about just ask them yourself, I thought about some people in the Bible, and I'm not necessarily going to read about all of them because I don't have the time. We would be here until next Sunday if I read all of the places where people have told about being saved. And you say, preacher, have people told about being saved in the Bible? Yes, they have, because I'm going to say today, it's the guidebook for everything that we have. If you'll remember the lesson that we preached a few Sundays ago, the leader wrote the book on it. And I believe if you really want to know all about salvation, all that you have to do is read this book. But I'm going to say, somebody's going to have to do some preaching, because the Spirit must accompany that. I believe today that salvation happens in the hearts of man. I don't believe in a mind salvation. I believe if you believe with just your mind, that is all that it will be. I believe in a heartfelt, salvation. I believe in something that is very real. I believe in something that I can feel and know about. I would hate to live with anything else. There's a lot of people today that live day by day wondering if they should die now or if they would go to heaven. Oh, but I'm so thankful that when God saves a soul, He lets them know about it. And then guess what He does? He seals that soul. I believe in a salvation that is secured by the Lord. I don't believe there's anything you and I can do to get out from under the Lord's grace. I believe if you look over in the Ephesian letter, I believe that He would tell us that it is sealed unto the day of redemption, meaning that God has put a seal on our soul so strong, there's not one thing that could come and get it. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. And it goes through a whole bunch of things. I'm persuaded that none of those things can separate us from the love of God. There's people today that believe they can lose their salvation. I contend this morning, if you believe that you lost it, you didn't have it to begin with. Because what I have will last through all eternity. I don't have something that's good today and gone tomorrow. I'm going to say today, I've treated my salvation pretty awful at times. But you want to know something? It's still there. The same salvation that the Lord gave to me when I knelt before Him at an altar of prayer the night that I did that, it is the same salvation. It's never left, and it's never going to. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for something that will last. We live in a world today where nothing seems to be made to last. You buy something new and before long it's broken, it's beaten to pieces, and it's not worth having anymore. But I'm going to contend this morning that salvation is something that will last, and it is something worth having this morning. I've heard people say this, and I believe it to be the truth. Salvation is good to live with, but it is the only thing to die with. There's a lot of things that I enjoy in this life. But guess what? When it comes to die, not one of those things will ever help me. I want to get to the Scripture reading if the Lord will be our helper. Paul was saying, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. And he was speaking about physical Israel. He was speaking about a people that thought that they had been saved, thought that they knew about God, but did not. There's a world full of people today, and as I told you on Wednesday night, we're studying about religion versus salvation. There's a world full of people that believe that they're saved. World full of people. But it's not something that has been fixed in here. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I believe that to be the truth. Every one of us that are born into this world, we must be saved. Everybody has to be saved before they leave this world. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. But I believe there's some parameters on that. I believe that every knee's going to bow and every tongue shall confess. But I believe you better do it before the Lord comes back. You might get another opportunity to pray that prayer, but guess what? It'll do you not one bit of good. When you bow your knee after time is up, there's no hope for that person. But there's a whole lot of people that believe when the Lord comes back, they've got a long time to get it straightened out, and I sure don't believe in that. I believe when God comes back, time is up and time will cease to exist for everybody. When the trumpet sounds, that's it. And we're living in a world today where people believe they've got all the time in the world. Paul said, brethren, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My prayer to God for this world is that they might be saved. And what's going to save people today? Is it me? No. Is it this church? No. Is it the works that we do? No. Is it our baptism? No. Because guess what? There's got to be something that precedes baptism. Our works can't save us. James tells us faith without works is dead. But you've got to understand what James was saying. James was pointing out people that claim that they've been saved and have never produced anything to show that they have been saved. A faith without works is dead. There's a whole lot of people today, and I know several of them, that claim that they have been saved but have nothing to show for it. They say that they have been changed by the Lord but have nothing to show for it. Now I'm going to say today, we can be astray from the Lord. We can. People can stray from God and get so far away from Him that their lives even look like a lost person's lives. But I'm going to say today, if a person has been saved and knows that they have been saved, there was obviously a change that took place. You hear me say that a lot, but I believe that there is a very definite change in a person's life. You don't believe me? You just ask Paul over in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Think about Paul this morning. Did works save him? No. Did baptism save him? No. Did anybody else save him but the Lord? No. You want to know how that I know that? You read over there about the Damascus Road. And you think about who was with Paul. Saul at the time. Saul had persecuted the Lord's church. He had burned people at the stake. He had taken people's lives. Now, does that sound like good works? Does that sound like something that would get somebody into heaven? But I'm going to say today, I believe Paul was a saved man. I believe he was a very saved man. And I believe what he had was sure. And I believe it was something that changed his life. Read about it in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. You go over there and see what Paul went through. You talk about the Lord speaking to someone. And I very much believe that God deals with sinners. I believe that God must deal with lost people. If God's never dealt with you, you've not been saved. I believe that God deals with the heart of man. And I believe that He draws lost people to Him. The night that I was seeking the Lord, the night that I got saved, I went to the Lord because He drew me. I could have rejected Him. I could have turned Him away. But there's not one thing in this world that I wanted more than to be saved. Not one thing more. Why is that? I liken it unto Paul. Paul said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Oh, you know it's hard to kick against the pricks. Paul, you know that what you're doing is wrong. Paul, you know that I'm real. Paul, you know that what you're doing will not get you into heaven. Paul, you know it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick against the truth, ain't it? It's hard to kick against something that we know to be real, that we know to be the truth. I believe Paul got saved there on that Damascus road. Name changed from Saul and it changed from Paul. He went from hating the church, persecuting the church, to being one of the best preachers, one of the best people that the Bible has ever recorded about. And you know what Paul said about himself? I am the chiefest of sinners. If he thought that about himself, I can only imagine what he might think about me, because if Paul was the chiefest, and I'm right there with him, me and him are just as close as they can be. But guess what he did? He saved Paul. I believe today there's a world full of people that believe they cannot be saved because of the things that they do. I contend that that is wrong. I believe God can save anybody that He wants to. I believe that He wants to save everybody. You talk about a Valentine's Day message, and I realize today that maybe you came to hear about love. I'm going to tell you about the purest form of love there ever has been. And that's when He saves a lost person's soul. When He went to the cross at Calvary, that was love. And He did that for sinners like Saul, for sinners like me, for people all over the world that have gone against the Lord and have trodden over His name. He wants to save them too. I believe that. I believe that very much. But you talk about love. There is no greater love than what the Father has for us. You talk about love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, there's people today that not believes that not everybody can get saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, it's a whosoever will salvation. I believe God draws everybody to Him. I believe that. I believe that people are being drawn to Him today and they really don't understand what's drawing them. I believe you've got to hear the gospel. I do. I believe the gospel must be presented to you. Some people believe that the preacher must do it. I believe that the preaching of the gospel needs to be preached. But I believe the gospel can go out in a lot of different ways. You all testify a lot of times, and I believe there's conviction in those testimonies. I believe that God's Spirit can use those things to prick hearts. You just ask them yourselves. You want to know what somebody believes? You want to know about their salvation? Just ask them yourself. I'm getting down to the point that I want to try to get maybe from this lesson. You don't understand why that I titled it the way that I did, or what the way that God gave it to me. But you think about today. If I were to walk out here on Nolan's Road and go down here to the Walmart, whichever way the Walmart you want to go, and if I were to walk through there, and I begin to ask people, have you ever been saved? You know what they would say? I'd probably get a multitude of answers. Probably wouldn't get very many that were like. Some of them would say, well, I've been baptized. Well, I accepted Jesus Christ. Well, I have done this and I've done that and I have lived this way and I have done these things for the church. I give thanks to the church. That's what their salvation is. That's what it boils down to. Things of this world. But salvation is not of this world. It is of somebody, of somewhere far greater than anything that this world has to offer. Salvation does not come by worldly things. Salvation comes by the Lord. It says, and I want to get to this, in the 9th verse of this 10th chapter, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But this is where the saving takes place in the 10th verse. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I'm going to tell you about something this morning, and I'm not even sure that my mom knows about this. When I was younger, I went to a church function with a friend of mine, and they did not believe like we did. And they asked me to go, and I wasn't saved at the time. And if I remember correctly, it caused quite a stir in our family because I was going and had not been saved. All I can remember my grandmother saying is, "What if he gets deceived? What if they tell him the wrong thing and make him believe that he's been saved?" But I went anyways, being the kid and begging and probably crying and asking Mom, "Will you please let me go? I want to go. My friends are going. Why can't I go?" We were going to church. I thought, surely nothing bad's going to happen to me at church. And we get there. It was on a Friday night, and I remember it very well. The church was definitely not like the one that we're in today. They didn't believe like we believe. And they had a preacher, and he got up and he said, "Everybody that wants to accept the Lord, you come up front and kneel down at the altar." I'd been in church enough to know that wasn't how it worked. But my friend said, "Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want to have that?" And so I thought, well, can't hurt to go up there. It can't hurt to go up there with him. And so he got up and he went down, and we got down on the altar, and the preacher said a few words, and he said, he read a couple scriptures, and I believe he read something very close, if not these scriptures, that day. And he asked everybody, he said, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" "Why, sure I do. I've been told all of my life that Jesus was the Son of God. Sure I believe that." I had no doubt that he was who he said he was. A little later on, I doubted that. But at that point, sure, I believe it. "Do you want to be saved?" "Duh. Yes, I want to be saved. I want to know about that. I want to have what those people have been talking about." And the wheels in my mind started going. They thought, "Well, you know, if I do this, maybe this will save me. I've been to altars everywhere that I could go, and I had not been saved." So I thought, you know, those people over there at Pleasant Hill, they don't know what they're talking about. Maybe this is what's going to save me. And I said, sure. He wasn't asking us individually. So I said, yes. And then he asked everybody, he says, "Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" "Sure. Yes, I accept Him." And people were getting up and they were just as jovial and as just happy as they could be. And I kept thinking, well, this is what salvation is. What's the big deal? How in the world are these people so happy about something? Over there where I grew up, there was not one thing that took place right there that changed my life. You can come down to this altar and you can accept Christ all day long. You can do that. You can accept Him with your mind. But that won't save you. It has never saved one person to come down, read some scriptures to them, and say, "Well, do you accept Jesus Christ?" It's not how I got it. I didn't get it there. Those people, I can guarantee you, the way that they were going down there, those people didn't care a thing in the world about salvation. They were laughing. They were cutting up. They were having a big old time walking down the aisle to go get saved, they thought. I'm going to tell you the trouble I had to get in to get saved. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. I'm going to tell you the night that I got saved, the Lord dealt with me in a way that He'd never dealt with me before. He broke my heart. He made me feel about this big. He let me know that if I was to die right then, just exactly where I was going to hell, and I might as well accept that. Because that was just as good for me as what I'd done there in that place. And that broke my heart. Well, my family was all around me, and I knew that they loved me. And I knew they couldn't save me. It says, with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. You tell me in those scriptures where it takes anybody else to save a soul but you and the Lord. But there's people today that want to get in between people and the Lord. I'm going to tell you today, you could be saved anywhere. You don't need a preacher to save you. We cannot save you. Now, I'm telling you this morning, and you go away from here, and if anybody ever tells you or tries to tell you that they've saved someone or that someone has saved them, you be very leery of that preacher. Because I believe very much so that it is with the heart that man believeth unto salvation. And you can't see my heart. You can't know my heart. So therefore there's no way that anybody else can be involved in the process of salvation. It must be between a person and the Lord. There is nobody else. There's no other parties. I'm going to tell you, I love coming together with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I do. But even if we didn't show up, I believe we need to show up. I believe it's good when we come together and we worship the Lord. But salvation does not involve everybody else in the church. It involves you and the Lord. It says, "For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and then with the mouth confession is made." If you don't have something in your heart, there's no way that you can confess about it. If you don't know about it, there's no way you can tell about it. I used to hear people say when I was lost, I'd say, "Well, what does it feel like?" And they'd say, "Well, I cannot explain it." And I thought, well, if you can't explain it, how do you know that it's real? How do you know if you cannot explain it to me? We'll take you back to that night. And I posted this on Facebook a few weeks ago. And this scripture has been dealing with me ever since then. I didn't know where I was supposed to preach it. I don't know why I'm supposed to preach it here this morning. I'm going to tell you, I don't know the hearts of anybody. But if you're lost and undone without the Lord, you need to seek Him before it's everlasting too late. Amen. Time will run out someday. But I'm going to take you back. And I remember sitting right there on the front row at Pleasant Hill. Oh, and my heart was just broken. I remember looking over into the A women corner. All the older women sat over here, and oh, they were just singing. I can't remember the song they sang, but I can remember very vividly that they were just singing their hearts out about whatever. I mean, they were singing good songs, good sound songs of the faith, I believe. I'm sure they were singing about heaven and how wonderful that it would be. And I knew that I was going to miss out. I knew that I was not going to get there at that point. So I knelt down on that bench, and I'm going to say today that what we say to the Lord when we're getting saved or when we're begging the Lord to save us does not matter. It's the grumbling of the heart. There are inseparable graces that we must have to get saved. Number one is repentance. You've got to be sorry for what happened. Say, what happened? It's because of us that God had to send His Son to die. It's because of us that somebody had to take the cross. The Lord, God Himself, is the offended party. We must be sorry for that. We must realize that we are a sinner and repent for that and be sorry for that fact, for that reason. The other inseparable grace is faith. You must have faith. Repentance and faith, they go together. You can't, when you're going to get saved, when you're begging the Lord, you've got to have repentance, be sorry, be begging the Lord for salvation. But also you've got to have faith. I heard a preacher one time not too long ago say that it was our faith that saved us. Wrong as you can be, God gives us the faith to get saved because He's the author and He's the finisher of my faith. When He grants us the faith, and He can tell. I want to read a few verses of Scripture over in the Ephesian letter. Second chapter. And I guess if every Baptist church has a sermon that they preach about salvation, they probably quote these verses of Scripture. Because they're true. And they're right. And they're what I believe about salvation. The second chapter. The 8th verse says this: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." For by grace are ye saved
through faith. Let's go back to that other Roman letter. It is with the heart that man believeth unto salvation.
You can believe with your mind, and I'm going to tell you today, the people that do the accepting of Christ understand why they do what they do, and it doesn't make quite all the sense up here. They believe that if you get down to that point, that surely that you're going to repent and pour your heart out to the Lord. I don't believe that though. I believe what that does is it makes you believe with your mind. And believing with your mind is dangerous work, because it says for the heart. Man, if it said the mind, that might work, but it will not work. And it won't be what I preach. Because an acceptance salvation will not get you into the portals of heaven. It will not get you an ounce of salvation. And some people believe that salvation happens in stages. I believe when God saves a soul, He gives it to them all at one time. He gives them everything that they'll ever need in this world, because it's a one-time deal. When the Lord saved my soul, He filled my cup up. Oh, and it's still there. For by grace are you saved through faith. I've told you this. Some of you have heard this. When I was lost, for a period of time, I didn't believe that God was real. I'd stopped believing. I thought, those people have told me and told me and told me, and I've not gotten saved. So how can they be right? I can sympathize with people that don't believe in the Lord. And you may say, preacher, why can you do that? It's hard to put your faith and your belief in something that you've never seen. I understand that. It is. It's hard to put your faith in an everlasting life, in somebody, in something that you've never seen. But that's why it says, for by grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. When we get down to the end of our faith, God steps in. And you know what happens when we have that kind of faith? We believe with our hearts. Instead of believing with our minds that God is who He says He is, suddenly our heart believes everything about God. And when that happens, I believe that God saves a soul. I believe that God saves souls in a matter of seconds. It doesn't even take that long for us to go from nature to grace. And you ask, how did you title this? Ask them for yourselves. I contend today, the Bible says it's true, that people have been saved the same way that I'm getting saved since the beginning of time. You say, preacher, but God wasn't living then. They had to have the faith to believe that God would come to save their souls. And we have to look back believing that He did come to save our souls. I want to go one step further with that. You read about the psalmist, Psalm 116. I've read it many times. That was a salvation experience. Read about Job. I believe he had what I have to have that kind of faith. Surely he believed in the Lord. Read about those in the New Testament. I'm going to try to close here in a few moments. I'm going to try to not wear your patience. I know some of you are worried about the weather, and I just want to follow the Lord. But I want to say this, and I'll try to close here in a few moments. Ever read about a man named Blind Bartimaeus? Blind Bartimaeus sat by the way and blind. He'd heard, though, that there was a man coming by named Jesus. No doubt he'd heard that He had been healing people and doing all of these wonderful things. Blind Bartimaeus wanted to see. He'd never seen Him, but he'd never heard about Him, really. He'd never passed that way before. Blind as he could be, couldn't see. It says he was blind and he could not see. Then here comes Jesus. And what did blind Bartimaeus begin to do? He began to call out on the Lord. Call out on Jesus Christ. And I believe those that were around him said, hush, he doesn't want to hear from you. And the Lord wanted to see what that was all about. The Lord goes over there and He makes a little bit of a clay mixture. And He puts it on old blind Bartimaeus' eyes. You know what happens then? It says, blind Bartimaeus says this, I was blind, but now I see. Is that not what happens to a lost soul? We are blind, but now we see. If that's not a change, I don't know what is. If that's not an absolute change from being blinded to seeing, to our eyes being opened to the Lord, I don't know what is. I believe with everything that blind Bartimaeus had enough faith to believe that Jesus was who He says He was. You know what? Blind Bartimaeus got his physical sight, but he got something far greater than that. I believe that blind Bartimaeus, I believe he got saved right there. I truly believe that. You just ask him. You can read it in the Bible. All you have to do is say, where does blind Bartimaeus say that? He says, I was blind, but now I see. Brothers and sisters, that wasn't a mind thing. That was a heart thing. Salvation is a heart work. It will always be a heart work. I preached a sermon a few months back about change. People want to change everything. The reason that we have this easy believism, a modern way of thinking, is this. People have tried to rush the Lord. They've tried to prod people down the aisle to say, if you'll just accept Him, He'll save you. Brothers and sisters, we've got to leave the saving to the Lord. We've got to leave it to Him. It is for with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. You ask about baptism, and I want to deal with this verse, and I'm going to try to close. Acts 2 and 38 says this, repent and be baptized. People have taken that verse of Scripture and they have stood on it and built a doctrine that is sending people right to hell. Sending them right to hell. That's what they're doing. It says repent, comma, and be baptized. I heard a man in the one that believes the opposite way that I do, that following the Lord in obedience and baptism saves you, and then a work salvation keeps it. Heard him say one time, if you're going to take repentance and faith, you've got to have baptism, because Acts 2:38 says that baptism is essential. That's not what Acts 2:38 says. You read about some verses of Scripture. I can find verses of Scripture this morning that says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Singular, by itself. Doesn't say anything about faith. Doesn't say anything about baptism. I read you verses. For by grace are you saved through faith. Singular, stands alone. Doesn't have baptism or repentance in it. You say, well, preacher, they're inseparable graces. Why don't we have to have baptism? Because anywhere you see baptism, you see these other things that go along with it. Because baptism does not stand alone. Baptism is not something that must take place. Baptism is an act of obedience after one has been saved. And that's what Peter was telling them there in Acts 2 and 38. Repent, be saved, and then be baptized. They're changing it today. And we can't. I still believe, and I'm going to close. Ask them for yourselves. I still believe in people getting saved in the heaven-sent, heartfelt, knee-route way. I still believe that. You say, preacher, isn't that outdated? This book does not change. God does not change. Therefore, the way of salvation cannot and will not change. Ask them for yourselves. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. Salvation is between a person and the Lord. Nobody else. So if you ask me about my salvation, I'm going to take you back to a time and a place where the Lord saved my soul. And He gave me a peace that passeth all understanding. If you were to ask me, that's what I tell you. Ask those in the Bible, and they'll tell you the same thing. They give accounts of identical things that took place, of a faith and a repentance that then happened and they got saved. You ask people today, the Bible says over, and I believe it's Psalms 117, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Just ask them for yourself. people that have truly been saved, they have a time and a place. Saul's time and a place. Blind Bartimaeus had a time and a place. I believe if you really dig down into Psalms 116, the writer of that had a time and a place. I'm not talking about a physical time and a physical place. I believe that we can know about those. But I'm talking about a time and a place where you know that God dealt with your heart and He saved it. I believe that our hearts must be in trouble to get saved. Just ask people for yourself. Just ask those in the Bible. You're not going to find in the King James Version book of the Bible, and that's the one that I use, that's the one that I study out of, and that's the one that I believe in using. You can use whatever translation you decide to use, but I love this one. I believe it's the closest thing that we have to the Word of God that there ever has been or ever will be. I believe that. You find for me verses of Scripture where it says, accept the Lord and be saved. They're not in there. But it sure does talk about repentance and faith a whole lot. So I'm inclined to believe that that is the way that people get saved. I'm not just inclined. I know that is the way that people get saved. I've got it. I want you to have it. I don't know your hearts. It's no shame to have been deceived. I'll say that. It's no shame to have let somebody tell you that you've been saved. It happens all of the time. But there is a shame in not getting it worked out. You have got to be saved for yourself. You have to have a time and a place. And if you don't have that, hell will be your home. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand,